Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in the earth. This is the greatest time to be alive. I am so glad I was born in this time in life. Aren't you? This is the greatest time to be alive, Father. We are experiencing things right now that that just will never come again. It'll never happen again like this. In the last few years, we've been experiencing these things. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're the teacher. We need you to teach us this morning, to give us the understanding and the discernment so that we can put to practice what we hear today. Father, your word will go and hit a place in our heart, Father, and it will bear fruit for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 11, in honor of our moms today, I tell you what, this is powerful. This does not speak of godly women in Hebrews chapter 11, then I don't know what else could speak. I think it speaks more of a godly woman than does the popular Proverbs 31 that you always hear ministered on Mother's Day or special occasions where ladies are gathered. But Hebrews 11, I am going to be reading today from the Message Bible just as a change. I did that last week when I read a certain passage from the Message Bible. I was like, well, let me read from it today. I just like the way it says, so you can follow me in your translation. But I'm going to read for you Hebrews 11, starting at verse 33 through 40. Through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, meaning they, believers in Jesus Christ, made justice work. Did you hear that? No, you didn't.
Made justice work.
They declared the decree, the word of the Lord, and justice you work. I want to see God's justice in this situation. I want to see the right thing happen in this situation. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Okay. Through acts of faith, they did it. They toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took the promises for themselves. Oh, grabbed a hold of the promises through faith, right? Not for themselves. They were protected from lions, fires, and sword thrust. They turned disadvantage to advantage. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Through acts of faith. Okay? They won battles and they routed alien armies. Oh my Lord. Y'all, this is spiritual. This is spiritual. This is New Testament. This is spiritual. Women receive their loved ones back from the dead. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Not only physical death, but spiritual death.
Yeah.
They received their loved ones back from spiritual death. There were those who, under torture, refused to give in and go free. Woo! This is not speaking to us today in countries where believers are being persecuted, starved to death, persecuted, violated, their children violated, persecuted for their stand up for the gospel. But look at this. This is us today. Under torture, refused to give in and to go free, preferring something better.
Mm-hmm.
Resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
That meaning the life and the promises of God that God had did not love their life even unto death. Others braved abuse and whips, and yes, chains and dungeons. We have stories of those who were stoned, sawed in two, murdered in cold blood, stories of vagrants wandering the earth in animal skins, homeless, friendless, and powerless. The world didn't deserve them. Making their way as best they could on the cruel edges of the world. Not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, got their hands on what God has promised. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one complete whole. Are you getting that? Their faith and our faith, talking about the plan of God, would come together as one complete whole. What's the definition of a remnant? A remnant is that part that is saved to be replanted. Glory to God. God had a remnant then. He's got a remnant now. He's bringing the remnant, the power of the remnant together to make a complete whole. Y'all, that's when we're getting out of here. My God. Their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. Their lives of faith. See, and you think, I hear people sometimes, oh, I wish I'd lived when Jesus lived. I wish I'd walked when Jesus walked. I wish I could have seen this or seen that in the Old Testament. Well, I wish I had that kind of faith. You do have that kind of faith because you have the same God. And he says here that their faith mixed with our faith made a complete whole. And their lives of faith are not complete without yours. So get on it. Saints of God, I'm saying that. I said, let's get on this. Let's get on it. Let's get about it. Let's get about the kingdom's business. Because what? They're waiting. Those that have gone on are waiting. Because they won't be made complete in their faith without our faith. Lord, that is profound. That okay. Don't you gain strength from reading the Old Testament and their faith in God?
Yes.
Well, guess what? The Word of God. Oh, God, just got a revelation. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. All those from before that demonstrated acts of faith. We're surrounded by them in the spirit realm cheering us on. Why? Because their faith and our faith together makes the complete whole. And their faith cannot be completed without ours.
Wow.
It's connected. Okay, what do we learn about the Hebraic calendar? It's circular.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's circular. It comes back around. Mm-hmm. That is awesome to me to think when I read of their great acts of faith and they're sitting there cheering me on, well, I want to see yours, girl.
Mm-hmm.
What does James say about works and faith? Show me faith without works and it's dead. Faith without works is dead. So it's like I see this picture of these Old Testament saints just cheering us on. Like, come on, show me your faith. I gotta have it. Just like I've been encouraged by their faith. I'm encouraged when I read how Daniel would not give in to the system of that world. He kept on praying and honoring God, and God sent a lion. God didn't send a lion. God sent an angel to shut the mouth of the lion. Doesn't that encourage you when you read that? And Shadrach and Abednego, Rakshak and Beni, according to the VeggieTale, Rakshak and Beni came out of the fire, didn't even smell the smell of smoke, their hair wasn't even singed. Glory to God. And they're cheering us on. Okay, how could these people do this? How could they accomplish these things? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Turn to Acts chapter 1. How could they do this, saints? How could they do this? They did this by the power of the Holy Spirit. They did this through the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. There's no way they could have done it without the help of Holy Spirit. Here's the promise of Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1. Dear Theophilus, in the first volume of this book, I wrote on everything that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he said goodbye to the apostles, the ones he had chosen through the Holy Spirit, and was taken up to heaven. After his death, he presented himself alive to them in many different settings over a period of 40 days. In face-to-face meetings, he talked to them about things concerning the kingdom of God. As they met and ate meals together, he told them that they were on no account to leave Jerusalem. He told them, he gave a mandate, he gave an order. Jesus said, you are under no circumstance whatsoever to leave Jerusalem. You must wait. You must what?
Wait.
You must wait for what the Father promised. The author of Hebrews says, you have need of endurance and patience so that you can fully inherit all the promises of God. Jesus gave them a mandate. You must wait for what the Father promised. The promise you heard from me. John baptized in water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit and soon. When they were together for the last time, they asked, Master? See, they still didn't get it. They didn't get it. And same thing, sometimes we don't get it. Look at this. We read it too fast. We go over it and we don't really get into it. When they were together for the last time, they asked, Master, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Is this the time? There was a question to Jesus after he said the Father's going to send you a gift, a promise. He told them, you don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. What you'll get is Holy Spirit. Or who you will get, I will say, is Holy Spirit. That's what I'm sending you. That's what you need. What is it the guy sitting at a gate beautiful asking for, begging for alms? And what did he get? He got legs. He was asking for one thing, but he got something else. You don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. What you'll get is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the world. These were his last words. These were his last words. What was his last words? Wait. Wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. What, go to Jerusalem. You are under no circumstance whatsoever, me paraphrasing, to leave Jerusalem. You stay in Jerusalem. You wait and you tarry for the promise of the Father. These were his last words. So how important is that? The last words? These were his last words. Think about the last words that God spoke before he left the earth. Now that's important. As they watched, he was taken up and disappeared in a cloud. They stood there staring into the empty sky. Suddenly two men appeared in white robes. They said, you Galileans, why do you just stand here looking up at an empty sky? Y'all get something out of that. You believers, why are you just standing there doing nothing? This very Jesus who was taken up from among you to heaven will come as certainly and mysteriously as he left. Glory to God. Go and wait for the promise of the Father. Okay, so I've been learning this through some things that Carmen's been sharing with me. I've been listening to it on YouTube, and it was a teaching by Tim Sheets, and it was very insightful. I've added some other things that the Lord has given me, but just for us to meditate on this, and I'm going to read some of the things he said too, and you can pull that up on YouTube, and you can look at it too. It's concerning the Passover. By Tim Sheets, okay? I'm not the pastor, I'm sorry, the Pentecost. Okay. Waiting period. There is a waiting period, just like it was in the Old Testament, just like it was here in the book of Acts, between Jesus' resurrection. How many days did he appear to them before he went up to heaven?
40.
There is a waiting period between Passover, between the Passover crucifixion, the resurrection, until the promise of Holy Spirit. There's 50 days. There's a 50-day period there between Passover and Pentecost. You know how we just experienced a true Passover like we never experienced before with a plague? The prophets are saying, I believe it, that we're going to experience a true Pentecost. You know, we shared this morning in prayer that Paul says, do not be filled with wine that is a debauchery, but to continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit. I like what Catherine Kuhlman says. She says, you should be able to mark the time when you were born again. You should know. If you don't remember the exact day, you should remember the event where you were. I was at youth camp. I remember it. Okay? You should be able to remember the time you were born again. But you should never, ever be able to say that, point your finger at a day or a time and say, that is the day that I was so full of the Holy Spirit I don't need a fresh and filling. Because the Word of God says to be freshly and filled with the Holy Spirit. So Pentecost, I know prophetically, had one day of fulfillment. I know that. It's already been fulfilled. I know that. But what I am saying is that we can experience a fresh and filling of Pentecost. Really, you can experience it every day.
Right.
But there are marked times when things are coming again, and we remember those marked times. I mean, that's what the word remember means. It means it's a marked time to remember it. Okay, so let's get a little bit into this, and let me explain Pentecost a little bit according to this. Okay, so between Passover and crucifixion, resurrection, until the promise of Holy Spirit, 50 days between Passover and Pentecost. Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 2, 1 through 3. 13. Now let's look at the difference. The difference Holy Spirit makes. I know we know this, but let's look at it again. Okay, chapter 2. When the Feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. Remember that. Devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then when they heard, one after another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues?" Now, wasn't that interesting? I just had a moment. Wasn't that interesting? The two angels that took the form of men said to those standing around that saw Jesus go up to heaven, what did they say? "You Galileans." Mm-hmm. "You Galileans. Aren't these all Galileans?" Mm-mm-mm. "How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretes and Arabs. They're speaking our language. They're speaking our language, describing God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth confused. What's going on? Others joked. They're drunk on cheap wine. But then Peter stood up. This is the difference Holy Spirit makes. Then Peter stood up and, backed up by the other 11, spoke out with a bold urgency. "Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9:00 in the morning. And this is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your young men will see visions, your old men dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I will set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black, and the moon blood red." Hello. "Before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous, and whoever calls out for help to me, God will be saved." Amen. Okay. The Feast of Israel, I have a resource I'm going to tell you about. It's Bruce Scott. I'm going to share through things about this book, from this book with you. The book is called The Feast of Israel. It's a book we used in Bible school. The author is Bruce Scott. The Old Testament Feast of what we call Pentecost is called Shavuot. Shavuot, for those who want to know. Shavuot. It literally means weeks. It's the second of three pilgrim festivals that all adult Jew males were required to attend at Jerusalem. Why do I say that? Well, that's just interesting facts, Kathy. No, don't you get it? Don't you? That's why they were there. That's why all those people were there from other countries. I'm talking about the perfect order and plan of God. God has a perfect order and plan. All the Old Testament feasts are to be fulfilled. There's seven major feasts in the Old Testament. Four of them have already been fulfilled with the coming of Christ. Right. We have three more yet to be fulfilled. I'm talking about the prophetic. They were required. There were three pilgrim feasts, and the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, was one of those that required all the males to travel to Jerusalem for that feast. Once again, the perfection of God. That's why they were all there. Did you ever wonder when you read that, why all those people were there? They were called there by Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that was going to fill them, that they didn't even know. They were still drawn by Him. Yeah, He said, the psalmist says, God, You even teach sinners in Your way. Do you know that? That God teaches sinners the way to go. How'd you get born again? How'd you get born? God taught you something. You saw something. Amen. So don't tell me there's anybody. He teaches backslide. He can teach the backslider how to come back.
Yes.
Oh, God. He did. Amen. Right here, He did. He taught me how to come back. Amen. Amen. Okay. So it's the second of the three pilgrim festivals that all adult Jew males were required to attend. If you were any kind of good Jew, you were in Jerusalem at Pentecost, at the Feast of Weeks. Okay. It's also known as the Feast of Weeks. I'm going to give you some scripture reference. I'm not going to read them today if you want to go back and study them out. It's known as the Feast of Weeks. That's Exodus 34:22. It's called the Feast of Harvest. I'll repeat them. That's Exodus 23:16. Y'all, this is beautiful. The Feast of Weeks, Exodus 34:22. The Feast of Harvest. Oh, my God. You see, y'all, are you getting it? I just want to hold my head. Why in the world would God be calling it prophetically to be fulfilled, the Feast of Harvest? God's going to harvest something that day. The feasts are prophetic. That's why we look. Why are you studying the feasts of the Old Testament? Because they're prophetic. That's why. Because I want to know. God says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's to the goodness or glory of man to search it out. The honor. There you go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the honor of a king to search it out. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Are you an honorable child of God? Then you search it out. The Feast of Weeks is called, that's Exodus 34:22. The Feast of Harvest, Exodus 23:16, because it inaugurated the beginning of the wheat harvest. Oh, my God. It was called the Feast of Harvest because it inaugurated, this is the beginning when we're going to start to harvest the wheat. The wheat is the choice of God. You know that? If you had wheat in the Old Testament, you were wealthy. The barley was for the poor. But the wheat, those that harvest wheat, they were the wealthy. That's why the kinsman redeemer, Boaz, what did she harvest out in the field? She didn't harvest no barley. She harvests wheat. My kinsman redeemer is rich. And he calls me to harvest wheat. Not the cheap stuff, but the good stuff. It's called the Day of the First Fruits. That's Numbers 28:16. Because its primary purpose was to bring a designated portion of the harvest. Oh my God, it was to bring a designated portion of the harvest. That's why it's called the First Fruits. Just hold that thought. Designated portion. Just hold that thought. Into the temple. Let me go back and read again. It was called the Day of First Fruits, Numbers 28:26, because its primary purpose was to bring a designated portion of the harvest. We know that the first portion, the first fruits, into the temple as an act of dedication to God in recognition of His provision. Now, I'm going to read this again. We'll get back to the book of Acts when Peter preached. I'm going to read this again. I'm going to read again right now, but I want it to marinate. Let it marinate. And I'm going to read again when we get to Peter's message. the day of the first fruits, because its primary purpose was to bring a designated portion of the harvest, the first fruits, into the temple. Where were they? In Jerusalem, at the temple, as an act of dedication to God and recognition of His provision. Prophetically fulfilled in Christ. The festival is also termed in the New Testament as the Pentecost, meaning the 50th, Acts 2:1. We just read that. 10 days after, 20 days, Jesus walked the earth for 40 days. He ascended. 10 days later was the day when Holy Spirit came, as recorded in the book of Acts. Okay, it signifies the 50th day from the waving of the Omer, O-M-E-R, sheaf of the first fruits. Okay, well, I know, it's getting, I don't mean to bog you down, but there's something to this. Please stay with me. I'll read it again. The festival is also termed in the New Testament as Pentecost, or 50, because it signifies the 50th day from the waving of the Omer, or the sheath of the first fruits. Leviticus 23:15 through 16. Go and read it. Leviticus 23:15 through 16. It was called the Pentecost because it was 50 days from the waving of the sheath of the Omer, from the waving, 50 days. What happened 50 days before that? Passover. Uh-huh. Christ was crucified.
Yes.
50 days before Pentecost was the Passover, when Christ was crucified.
So that was
the way that, wait a minute. Keep your mind on the prophetic. That this is the prophetic fulfillment. Okay? The New Testament for prophetic fulfillment. Okay? Keep mind on this. Jesus was lifted up from the earth. Woo! Don't shout. That's a good time to shout. You just missed it. Big time. He was waved. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will do what? I will draw all men unto me. Jesus was lifted up from the earth, the wave offering of God. The first fruit giving is placed in the hands of the priest and lifted up to God, right?
Yes.
What did Jesus say in Luke 23:14? Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Ooh! Oh, don't shout. Please don't shout. Please. Hallelujah. He was a wave offering lifted up. I'm talking about the prophetic fulfillment. That's why we study the Old Testament.
Yes.
Glory to God. The Old Testament is the New Testament revealed. See, we got it backwards. While I'm all Western mindset over here, we think, oh, we got the New Testament. Oh, we know. We got it. No. The Old Testament reveals what you think. Actually reveals that you don't know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you think you know.
Mm-hmm.
What did Jesus say? Oh, Holy Spirit, you are so good. Holy Spirit, you are so, so good. Jesus said, be careful how you hear.
Yeah.
How means where you position yourself to listen.
Right.
Because to those who hear, even they shall hear even more. They shall gain even more understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But to those that think they hear, even what they think they understand shall be taken away from them. And we think, you know, we're not. We're not. Until you know the Old Testament, you don't even know anything in the New Testament. You think you understand, but you don't. Look at that. Jesus was lifted up from the earth, the wave offering of God, the first fruit given, is placed in the hand of the priest and lifted up to God. 50 days from Christ being lifted up, we have a demonstration of the power of Holy Spirit to bring in the designated portion of the harvest. Did you hear that? What was the purpose of the first fruits? It was to bring in a designated portion of the first harvest to the temple of God and to dedicate to God an appreciation for God's provision. 50 days after the first fruit of God was waved up from the earth, we have an in-gathering. We have a gathering of a harvest. Holy Spirit came to bring a designated portion of the harvest. Acts 2:41. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the number of believers that day, about 3,000 in all. Mm-hmm. Y'all, mm-hmm. on the day of Pentecost, hello, that was the designated portion. Yes. That was the designated portion of God. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was the prophetic fulfillment of the Old Testament when they were brought in the first fruits to the temple of God. Mm-hmm. Those 3,000 men were the fulfillment. They were the designated portion of the harvest. My Lord. My, it's getting too warm in here for me now. Glory to God. Y'all, it's all prophetic. It's all fulfilled.
Yes.
It's all, they're prophetic. Can it happen again?
Yes.
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 Yes. Is it supposed to happen again? Yes. Over and over again. Will there ever be another fulfillment of Pentecost? No. There's only one. It's been fulfilled. But there is always to be a fresh infilling. Because why? Because God always wants a harvest of souls. He's never satisfied. That's a good preaching, Holy Ghost. The Lord gave me that. I'm sorry. That's just, well, no, I'm not sorry. Christ is the first fruits of many brethren. Romans 8:28. How can the first fruit offering, he's the first fruit offering, right? Oh, God, now I came undone again on this one too. How can the first fruit offering and the first fruit, how can Jesus be the first fruit offering lifted up and be the first fruit from the dead? How can he be both? How can he be both? Those of you who were really paying attention last week, now Jackie's excuse because she wasn't here. Okay. How can Jesus be the first fruits lifted up and then be the first fruits from the dead? How? Because the... I'll give you time to answer. You didn't answer me. How? How can you do that? Because the seed produces after its own kind. He is the first fruit seed. He is the sperm of God. He's the male sperm of God. He is the seed of God, the living seed of God that lives inside of us, is meant to get out, escape, and produce after its own kind. How could he, the first fruits offering, be the first fruits from the dead? How can you be both? Because he produced after his own kind. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. That's how. And that's what to be a seed means. The root word takes them down to be parentage. You were made to be a spiritual parent. God put his seed in you, and you are made to produce after your own kind.
Hallelujah.
Oh, and don't give an age. And don't think that has to be a natural child. We want our children naturally. In the natural, yes, we want them to follow God. We want them in that number. But don't limit it to that. You are producing. Don't ever underestimate that somewhere where you are, if you're being led by the Spirit of God, and you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you open your mouth in love, and you're there to do the work of God, and you've committed your life to God, you are producing a spiritual parentage. You might not even know it until years and years, or even into eternity, what you have produced. It don't limit, and don't limit to the age. Don't limit to the age of a person.
Mm-mm.
Don't limit to the age of who they are. Well, I always think for me to be a parent, I've got to be older than, well, in the natural, than my offspring. That makes sense, right? But you are, we are producing. Oh my God, after our own kind, that seed of God remains in you. That's what we read. We read in the little John, the epistle of John. So I think it was the epistle of John. Yes, and I can go back in my notes and find it. I call it little John, the little John. But the epistle of John, he says, those that are born again, don't sin. You don't have the desire to keep on sinning because the seed of God remains in you. The seed of God remains in you. It means that seed, that life that God has put in you remains, abides, stays fixed in you. That's why you don't have the desire to sin. Because you know who is in you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I'm going to read this for you because I thought it was really, really good. So I'm going to just briefly for you here, just for information. Okay, this comes from the syllabus for the Bible school class that we took on the Feast of the Old Testament. And the developer of this syllabus and the author of this class was Dr. Grady McGurty. So, or Gurthy. Okay, so we see that in the spring we have the Passover, we have these feasts, the Passover, unleavened bread, the first fruits, and the Pentecost. Okay, and then we see in the fall we have the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, we see that the first four of the seven feasts have already been fulfilled by Christ's coming. The first four, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost, were fulfilled by Christ's coming. The first four, are you ready for this? I know you probably know it, but just to hear it again just blesses me. The first four were fulfilled on exactly the same day of the month as the original commemoration. Exactly the same day of the month. We can look forward to God fulfilling the last three upon their anniversary dates too. He said to discern the times, the seasons. Yes. You don't know the time, he said, but he said to discern it, didn't he?
Yes.
He said to, he says, it's only given for my Father to know. Not even I know, Christ said. But he did say you can discern the times and the seasons. He did want us to be prepared because he said his coming will be to some like a thief in the night. He doesn't want us to be caught unaware. He said we can discern it. We can look forward to God's fulfilling the last three upon their anniversary date. What does the fulfillment of these feasts show us? God is sovereign. He is precise and accurate. He has set specific events in motion. He set them in motion from the very beginning. He sees the beginning to the end, and he wants us to understand his will and plan for us. Now, this teacher, when he was developing this course, and I don't want to mispronounce his name, so I'm going to go back again and attempt this again. Dr. Grady McMurthy. Yeah, Murthy. Okay, that's the best I can do. Sorry, Dr. Grady, that's the best I can do. Anyway, precise. He gave a definition of precision. Precision is the ability to repeat an event the same way. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Precision is the ability to repeat an event the same way. Didn't we experience that with Passover?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the Passover, the original Passover, but didn't we experience that? The, like Carmen said, discern the body.
Mm-hmm.
Discern, listen to what God is speaking through his servant. Listen to what they're saying about this Passover.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why not expect the same thing for Pentecost? Why not expect a demonstration again?
Mm-hmm.
If the Passover, 50 days after, was it, why not expect? But what do? He said to wait. Anticipation. Seeking him. Being in prayer. Looking for him. Asking him.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Asking him for it. Asking for a great outpouring of his spirit like on the day of Pentecost, beyond that day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Glory to God. Precision is the ability to repeat an event the same way. Learn precision, then adjust the sight to hit the mark.
Mm.
That's what this author says. Learn precision, the ability to repeat an event the same way. Now, aren't we doing that by learning all this? Y'all, are we learning about precision?
Mm-hmm.
About the teaching Carmen shared with me, and I've been sharing with you, and she's been sharing YouTube places to go and look. Hasn't the body, discerned the body, so to speak, Carmen? Haven't we been learning precision?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't we been getting precision? We're seeing, now what do? After we're learning precision, we're learning about it. We're learning this could happen. We're learning about this pattern. We're learning all this. We're learning about the ability to repeat, that God will repeat an event. God is precise and accurate. God is always precise and accurate.
Yes.
To repeat an event the same way. Now, what do? With this learned precision? We adjust our sight.
Mm.
We adjust our sight so we don't miss it.
Mm.
We have to adjust our spiritual sight through seeking God in prayer, right?
Yes.
So we don't miss it. So we don't miss it. Okay, let me share this other part with you, and then I'm going to read something from this prophet that will really bless you, and that'll tie it all up. The feasts are prophetic. We know that. Okay? You're not ready for this. You are not. I promise you, you're not ready for this. Remember, I told you they fulfilled on the exact same day as they originally commemorated. Every feast was fulfilled on the exact same day as it was originally commemorated. 1,500 years after the event at Mount Sinai, 1,500 years to the date, after the event at Mount Sinai, God made another appointment with his people. You know what that was? It was the Feast of Pentecost. Look at these scripture references. Write them down. Go back and look at them. Numbers 11. He's got here 17 through 25, but I'm saying Numbers 11, 25. We're going to read that. I'm going to get somebody to read that. Numbers 11, 25. That was the prophecy, and Acts 2, 1 through 12 was the fulfillment. Then also look at Exodus 19, 16 through 18. Exodus 19, 16 through 18. Numbers 11, 25. And Acts 2, 1 through 12, which we've already read that. Those things which the Jews experienced at Mount Sinai, and Carmen's been sharing this with me, the prophets have been talking about this, but this syllabus was written right here in my hand. Years and years and years ago. Okay? The things which the Jews experienced at Mount Sinai, the fire, the wind, and the tongues. What? They experienced tongues at Mount Sinai? Okay, go to Numbers 11, 25. Look it up. Numbers 11, 25. In this syllabus right here. Carmen, I heard you say this a few weeks ago when you were sharing this with us. One of the prophets talked about tongues at the mountain. Those things which the Jews experienced at Mount Sinai, the fire, the wind, and the tongues, would also be experienced by Christian Jews in Jerusalem, celebrated on the exact anniversary date. The exact anniversary date. What is precision? Precision is the ability to repeat events. Are you getting it? Oh, I know you're getting it. Precision is the ability to repeat an event the same way. Learn precision, then adjust your sight to hit the mark. It's not just good enough to learn precision. You've got to make an adjustment to hit the mark. You got to adjust some things in your life to hit the mark. It's not que sera, sera, what will be.
No, it's not, saints.
It's not.
That's why you keep missing.
That's why it's important. Yes. To position yourself and not just, yes, Carmen, and not just do listening, but where you sit to get your listening. Mm-hmm. Where do you position yourself to listen? Okay. Mm-hmm. Somebody read Numbers 11 because I don't have the Old Testament. Numbers 11, 25. Now, I know you have to read that in context. We're just going to read this one part. Jackie, will you read that for us?
Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him. And he took off the spirit. And he took off the spirit that was on him.
Which was Moses.
And put the spirit on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again.
They spoke. If you look that word up, that prophesy, they spoke in a tongue that they did not know. 70 of them. Just as the Jewish tradition says that God spoke in 70 languages, that is the language at Mount Sinai, so the believers at Jerusalem spoke in 120 different languages. They did not know, but were clearly understood by others outside at Mount Sinai.
we see the wind, the fire, and the tongues. Go home and look up that word prophesy. Right there. My God. My God, my God. Last thing I'm going to share, and then I'm going to read this prophetic word, this teaching. The traditional injunction of Shabbat, or the Feast of Weeks, Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Harvest and Gathering, this is an injunction. So if you, an injunction is a command or an order, a formal order from a law court ordering a person or a group to do or not to do something. It's an act of commanding or authoritatively directing. So the directive of God, the authoritative directive of God concerning Shabbat is Psalms 126:6. So let's get it and read it. 126:6. And if this doesn't come together for you, then Holy Spirit help. That's all I've got to say, Holy Spirit help, because there's nothing else I can do. This is the injunction. This is the order that was set down through the lineage of the Jews concerning the Feast of Weeks. This is what they were to say. This is what they were to believe. This was what they were celebrating. Okay. Psalms 126:6. I'm going to read this from the Message translation. I'm going to read it all. It seemed like a dream, too good to be true. When God returned Zion's exiles, we laughed, we sang, we couldn't believe our good fortune. We were the talk of the nations. God was wonderful. God was wonderful to them. That's what the nations were saying. God was wonderful to us. We are one happy people. And now God, do it again. What? And now God, do it again. What? And now God, do it again. Bring rains to our drought-stricken lives. So those who plant their crops in despair will shout hoorays at the harvest. So those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing and with armloads of blessings. So what was the word that they were to say over the Pentecost that was fulfilled prophetically? He shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. What are the sheaves? The sheaves are the harvest. The harvest of souls on the day of Pentecost. What Peter experienced when 3,000 men. He shall come on. See, those Jews were saying that all these years. We're celebrating these feasts and it didn't even know. They were prophesying it was going to be fulfilled prophetically. He shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Fulfilled prophetically in Christ. He shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. You ever heard that song? That's what it means. Wow. You sowed in sorrow. You sowed in hard times. They're saying, now God, do it again. Bring rains to our drought-stricken lives. To those who plant their crops in despair, with shout, will shout hooray at the harvest. Wow. To those who went off with heavy hearts, will come home laughing with armloads of blessings. Now somebody else read that in another translation. Please. Let me get the recorder. Read that in another translation. I like that in the Message of it. There's another translation I'm looking for.
He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow,
God,
will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him.
What was he carrying? Seeds to sow. But he's going to come home with shouts of joy with the harvest. Let me read a little bit of this for you and then we're going to pronounce the blessing. But you're going to be blessed by this and I want you to hear this. Now my notes are in bits and pieces, so I'm going to try my best. I'm probably going to stumble through a little bit of it, but you'll get the gist of it. Go and look it up for yourself. It's called a literal 2020 Pentecost is coming May the 31st. If you want it, If you want it. Do you want it?
Yes.
I want it. Mm-hmm. If you want it, you're anticipating it, right? You're waiting on it, right? You're looking for it, right? You're calling out for it, right?
Yes.
You're setting yourself to hit the mark, right? Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Now these are going to be these little choppy notes, but I'm going to put it together the best I can. God's kingdom is about to change things. Mm-hmm. God changes time and seasons. God knows how to cycle into new destiny. Mm-hmm. We are entering into a new inheritance. A fresh new Pentecost to be poured out and will bring in a new era. To be poured out upon the uncompromised remnant. Power to birth a new movement on the earth, to move into a brand new harvest. Oh God, we need it. We have passed over a literal Passover, now a literal Pentecost, not a celebration of an event. We are now cycling into our own greatest outpouring from heaven, an anointing to prevail, a literal functioning of great power to change the course of history, to represent Jesus with boldness. Untimidated warriors, set your heart to receive it. God's anointing of God's presence and favor to soak the true church. A mega outpouring of Holy Spirit. The anointing will turn any crisis into the favor of God. The anointing will turn any crisis into the favor of God. It will cycle us into abundance in the midst of lack. And he quotes Philippians 1:12. This will only work toward the furtherance of the kingdom. This will turn out for our deliverance. They, in Philippians 1 verse 20, they did not shut me up, but gave us a greater pulpit. Mm-hmm. He's saying it won't shut up the body of Christ, but give us a greater pulpit. And we are headed for a flourishing finish. This is a keystone or a capstone. This is holding everything together. Power on high to soak the remnant. Here we go again. We have another dream, 10 sheets. Well, that was his dream. Let me read this part. Actually, that was one thing he said. This is another thing concerning Pentecost. He said, there is a door. There is a way to go through. There is a breaker that will lead the way. The breaker to break out or to grow out. Like a seed. You grow up and out. You increase in spiritual strength. Don't we need that?
Yes.
The seed is planted. It goes through the womb. Some break through. There's three ways. A seed. Some break through. Keep your mind on the spiritual. Some have to grow your way out of it. And some breakthroughs come with God impregnating your soul until it's time for the thing to break out. So there's three ways we see the breaker anointing work. Sometimes it's suddenly, okay? Sometimes you have to grow in strength to see the breakthrough. Have you experienced that?
Yes.
And sometimes God just impregnates your soul with ideas and concepts and prophecy. Some dream gestation periods. That have to be nourished or protected. In other words, you have that dream. You have to nourish and protect it. Then there's a breaking out of the fulfillment of that. But you see, there's three different ways that God does that. Let me repeat them. It's sometimes it's suddenly. Okay, it's a seed breaking forth from the womb. Sometimes you have to grow up into this thing. You have to grow up. You have to nurture. You have to grow up into it. And sometimes it's just an idea that God just impregnated into your soul, into your inner man. And you have to just wait for that just to be fulfilled. Okay?
Yes.
This made a lot of sense to me and explained a lot of things too. Pentecost activates a yoke-destroying anointing. Didn't that happen on the day of Pentecost, y'all? Peter, look at the Peter. The vote is the inner Peter. Boy, he started calling things. He started calling. He said, you crucified him. With bones, he said, now this Jesus God gave you, crucified him, looking at them. And their hearts were pierced and they said, what must we do to be saved? Remember that? Okay. Pentecost awakes a yoke-destroying anointing. Get this on YouTube and for yourself, please, and listen to it, okay? My notes are choppy. Isaiah 10:27, he quotes, not to be an anointing that won't put that destroys y'all. It's not an anointing that can't be fixed. It demolishes the yoke. Okay? a pouring out anointing to destroy heavy burdens, a deluge of anointing that liberates bondage so that we can move through times of harvest. Daniel experienced three types of breakthrough. He gives Daniel as an example here. To obliterate, to grow up out of, and to be pregnated in the womb. God pours out an anointing to produce beyond the natural ability. Isn't that true? That's what anointing does. It gives you the strength to produce something beyond your natural ability. Wasn't that what Samson experienced? The anointing of God was upon him. He got it to do what he'd always done before, but he didn't realize that the anointing or the presence of God had parted from him. The anointing comes on us to do things we can't do in the natural. God pours out an anointing to produce beyond the natural ability. He anoints us to birth in the spirit realm what we cannot do in the natural realm. And then he quotes Acts 2, the first Pentecost, birthing the first kingdom of God on earth. Spiritual birth, fivefold ministry was birth. Okay? We're coming to a mega birth season. He talks about the coronavirus. The whole world has been put on pause, right? Now, Dean and I really haven't experienced this because we've really been about just where God has placed us. Was in his will and his, we wanted us there. We haven't really experienced a pause in anything. You know, really, because, and that might be that I don't have a very social life either. That might be, you know, all I do is go to work and go to church. I don't have a social life, you know. And most of the time we do eat out. Most of the time it's very rare. We go into a restaurant occasionally. But for the most part, we treat ourselves. It's a little treat through a drive-thru and we go home and enjoy it. You know, because I'm just to share this, because I'm not going to go out and eat if I don't bless somebody with a tip. And if I don't have the funds right then to go out and bless you with a tip, then I'm going through the drive-thru. Mm-hmm. And if I have some change of coin, I can put a little cup there. I'm going to do that too. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Hello. Okay, so the whole world has been put on pause. What is the pause prophesying to the church? Mm-hmm. What did Carmen say today? Discern the body. What is the pause prophesying to the church? The pause is the earth. The pause in the earth because of the coronavirus. Holy Spirit, what does this pregnant pause mean? In other words, God, man might have, it's yet to be revealed how this thing came about, and God's going to deal with all that. I know he is. But God is sovereign, and God is always ahead of anything the enemy does. Doesn't mean the enemy didn't do it, and doesn't mean God did it. But God is sovereign. He's always ahead of this. So what does this mean to you? For what purpose was this, God? What does this mean to you, Holy Spirit? What does this pregnant pause mean? Okay? That's what he calls it. It's a pregnant pause. The term between, the time between Passover and Pentecost, he calls it a pregnant pause. Why? You're expecting something's going to happen in your pregnancy, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
The last few weeks of pregnancy, you slow down. You getting this?
Mm-hmm.
Not because something wrong. We've been had to slow down a little bit, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Things have been changed a little bit, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
Not because something is wrong. A pregnant pause is extended to strengthen what is about to come.
Mm-hmm.
To give the mother strength for the birthing process, right? Birthing and building anticipation for a revealing of something or an answer to something. What is about to be revealed? The importance of an answer that is coming. What is going to happen? Pentecost is about birthing. Supernatural power that gives birth. A fresh anointing, higher levels, moving from a pregnant pause to a Pentecost, new concepts and new territories. Never, there will never be a time that the presence of God will be experientially felt. Then during this time is what he believes the Lord is showing him. He has sourced this anticipation in the soul of his remnant. A reigning church that reigns in supernatural power that will affect the natural realm. Moving to a worldwide revival to announce a pandemic of evil, sin worldwide, to renounce. Or is the answer? I'm sorry, let me go back. I told you my notes were choppy. We're moving to a worldwide revival to answer the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
This is God's answer to the pandemic
mm-hmm.
of evil, sin, worldwide, the mega Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
A season of a new Pentecost, a breakout into the opening, through new gates, we're going to see something, some things break out. Some things are going to grow out of this. Some things are going to break out spiritually. Some things are going to grow up out of this. Some things are going to be pregnated with new ideas and revelation through this. Okay? And then he reads the message. He reads Romans 8 in the Message Bible, which is beautiful. And just highlights of this is that we no longer have to live under a dark cloud. Holy Spirit is now going to enter into the mess. Pentecost makes God's life more experientially real. Life on God's terms. Things to do, places to go. A new harvest. The outpouring is about what's next. The move is coming. Opening further into the doors of a greater and glorious experience. We're going to have revealed, confirmed to us who we really are. He says, good times. We are being enlarged in the waiting. Isn't that true in the natural? Mm-hmm. It's ripening concepts. Is that not what Jane spoke through the Spirit of God concerning this body? Mm-hmm. We were in the ripening stage. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. That God will say about any remnant. It's ripening concepts, opening doors, raise expectations from a pregnant pause to a messianic breakthrough.
Wow.
Read it for yourself. Listen to it for yourself. Go on there for yourself. You're going to get a lot more than what I got. But this is enough to bless me. Every time I read, I feel the anointing of God again. You know, we didn't go through this for naught. We didn't go through this for naught.
There was, everything that you shared today was things that came to me or I heard.
Mm-hmm. Same Holy Spirit.
Notes to go back. But this was probably the greatest yesterday. I had several strands of things. Over the last couple of days, there was just a strand over a couple of subjects. And this one, over the last short while, I have cried out and I have said to the Lord, you gave the early disciples instructions in what to do for them to be in a position to receive. So I went to Acts and read it a couple of times over the last couple of days in Acts 2.
Mm-hmm.
And see, and I am very, I just won't, I have several words, spirit, that just mean a lot to me, always have, and one of them is remnant, and then Jerusalem now is another. I just won't take anybody saying to me, just Jerusalem is a city. No, it is not. And I now always translate the word Jerusalem when I read it, house of God.
House of God.
Jerusalem is built as a city.
It's built as a city.
But it specifically tells us that in Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
It is built as a city.
Mm-hmm.
Jerusalem is the house of God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus told the disciples, go to the house of God and remain there until. I said, Lord, I don't want to make anything legal out of this or anything. I said, but show us. Is there something that we do today?
Yes.
Lord, what do you want us to do? I said, Father, because I don't want to come through and then on the other side of this Pentecost and go, wasn't that a beautiful day?
No.
I don't want that.
No.
Didn't we celebrate and wasn't that just a happy day? No. I want what they got.
Yes.
Or greater.
Greater.
Father, what are you going to do that I can look? Because again, it goes back to that North Korean guy that I seen. He felt that brush of that wind. I saw it. And I could almost see the wind. I saw that thing brush against his face, and that man knew what it was.
Wow. Yes.
And it was Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, I want something tangible on that day. So we need to be asking the Lord, what do I do? Do I close myself in over that weekend? Mm-hmm. What do you want me to
do? Right. God, yes.
What do we do?
What do we do? And pray in the Spirit, because Holy Spirit reveals it.
Even when you said earlier, we can't be in Jerusalem every day, and I was like, oh yeah, we can't go see Jerusalem's the house of God.
Okay. But concerning that scripture,
spiritually, Jerusalem is the house, even naturally. That's why there's such a fight over it. Mm-hmm. But this, Lord, you told them to go to the house of God and to remain. So what do we do? So I heard something yesterday. I think this is Chuck's brother, and it doesn't matter. Here again, the Lord, I know over my life, there are times where he spoke something so specifically. And when I went, I knew that I was going to see that thing there because he spoke specifically. Mm-hmm. So I know when somebody else, I know the Lord speaks specifically to us.
Mm-hmm.
He told this man, over to whatever few days before this was fresh, hot off the press, as Future Pickett would say. It was fresh from the throne of God. It was fresh out of the oven. Mm-hmm. You could smell the bread. Mm-hmm. It was so fresh.
Mm-mm-mm.
The Lord told this man, who I think is Chuck's brother, he said, go and get this book. You have it. It's called Possessing Inheritance. The man said, Lord, I don't even know where it is.
Mm-mm-mm.
He said, go to page 77, and I think it was the last paragraph, and read it.
Right.
This is for right now. He went through his house, wasn't really looking, just led by the Lord, just went from one room to another, looked on the shelf. It was the fifth book down.
Mm-hmm.
He pulled it out. He said, by exact obedience. I didn't read the page before it.
No.
I didn't read the page after it. I didn't read a couple of paragraphs before going into it. He said, I read. He, out of total obedience, he didn't say that. I said that myself. Total obedience. Mm-hmm. He went right to that paragraph, and this is what that paragraph said. The end is now. The beginning is now. We're about to Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next part was, for me, it was another strand of thread. Because in that paragraph, it says Psalm 66:10. So I read it last. When he first read it, I came unglued. You have tested us as you do when you refine silver. Then it goes on. You brought us into a net. I'm going to read it out of the Passion. The end is now. We need to be prophesying. The end
is now.
Is now.
Mm-mm-mm.
There's a many things all in my life. I need
to
end.
The end is now.
The beginning is now.
That is what it said in that book,
Possessing the Inheritance, where he didn't even know where the book was.
Right.
The Lord led him to write where it was, told him what page, told him which paragraph to read, and that's what it read. The end is now.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning is now. Mm-hmm. Psalm 66:10. Now, in the Passion, it says, the title is, Thank You. Thank you. So I'm sitting there, I'm meditating, I'm like, Lord, keep revealing to me, because keep revealing to me. Thank you, Lord, is the title. And the underneath, small, for the pure and shining one. Smaller under that, a song of awakening. Everyone, everywhere, lift up your joyful shout to God. Sing your songs tuned to his glory. See, all these words we need, tuned to his glory. Tell the world how wonderful he is. For he's the awe-inspiring God great and glorious in power. We've never seen anything like him. Mighty in miracles. You cause your enemies to tremble. No wonder they all surrender and bow before you. All the earth will bow down to worship. All the earth will sing your glories forever. Everyone will say, come and see the incredible things God has done. Mm-hmm. Keep in your mind, the end is now, the beginning is now. It will take your breath away.
Mm-hmm.
He multiplied miracles for his people.
Mm.
He made a highway going right through the Red Sea as the Hebrews passed through on dry ground, exploding with joyous excitement over the miracles of God. In his great and mighty power, he rules forever, watching over every movement of every nation. So beware, rebel lands. He knows how to humble you.
And will.
Praise God, all you peoples. Praise him everywhere and let everyone know you love him. There's no doubt about it. God holds our lives safely in his hands.
Mm.
He's the one who keeps us faithfully following him. And this is the 10, the verse about the silver, but it's very different in the passion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh Lord, we have passed through your fire like precious metal made pure. You've proved us, perfected us, and made us holy. You've captured us, ensnared us in your net. Then, like prisoners, you've placed chains around our necks. You've allowed our enemies to prevail against us. Not over us, against us. We passed through fire and flood, yet in the end, you always bring us out better than we were before, saturated with your goodness. I come before your presence with my sacrifice. I'll give you all that I've promised, everything I have. When I was overcome in my anguish, I promised to give you my sacrifice. Here it is. All that I said I would offer you is yours. The best I have to bring, I'll throw it all into the fire. The wood, the fire. Keep
sacrifice
it going.
The altar.
As the fragrance of my sacrifice ascends unto you. All you lovers of God who want to please him, come and listen, and I'll tell you what he did for me. I cried aloud to him with all my heart, and he answered me. Now my mouth overflows with the highest praise. Yet if I had closed my eyes to my sin, the Lord God would have closed his ears to my prayer. But praises rise to God, for he paid attention to my prayer and answered my cry to him. I will forever praise this God who didn't close his heart when I prayed and never said no when I asked him for help. He never once refused to show me his tender love. Amen. Remember my dream about the man that was standing in front of the silver door. And he started shooting at me. I was hollering. I knew that whatever was at that door, I knew what was behind it was mine. So then the Lord started showing me yesterday, oh my God, when you said first said silver, you had tested us.
Like silver.
Like silver. I opened, I said, Lord, it's been so long since I've written in my book. I wrote one thing about a month ago. But other than that, I said, I need to write. And I said, oh, thank God I wrote this dream. Well, something else that Chuck said that was interesting that I believe is going to be different in the church. It should have been all along. That's what this meeting was about a couple of days ago. It was about embracing the body,
and how we have said we're not going to be that normal church. No mm-hmm. more church.
No.
What was known is over.
Mm-hmm.
It was about sharing dreams. It was about prophesying.
Mm.
This was the coolest thing on this. People in that meeting that dream, Chuck was saying, prophesying to those people in what they dreamt.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, those that could rebuild dreams, it was so neat because before Chuck knew the revelation of that dream when he prophesied, when the revelation of the dream came, it was also what was in the prophetic. So we need to start sharing when we have dreams, prophesying to one another.
What about, yes.
And then on the other side of it, when that dream, oh my gosh, I was just floored. And then his brother came up and shared this. And I went last night, and because during the day I read it. I looked up, and this will bless you because this is what you all, this is what you say about me. See, this is prophetic because it's what you say, and I didn't know it yet. I looked up, I said, Lord, I don't really know what silver means. And I think we had said redemption. I looked up what biblically, what silver means. Truth.
Oh, my God.
Kathy said, Carmen, you always want to know the truth.
The truth. You walk in truth. Yes. Truth.
And then it symbolizes biblically value. Is what it's silver and gold in the Bible are things of value.
Right.
But silver symbolizes truth. Biblically it means truth. You have refined us. And in this house, we have said, Lord, we just want to know truth. We want to know the real of your word.
Yes.
You have refined us as silver is refined. But then I got stopped on because I said, all right, well, how's silver refined? Because that's literally what it says. You have refined us as silver is refined.
As truth is refined.
It doesn't say you refined us like silver. That would still kind of mean the same thing, but in the scriptures it says as silver is refined. So I wanted to start looking it up, but then I had to stop because I kept looking at all this and the little bit of stuff I got to do. I was like, I kept doing this, but it was so good I had to stop. So I am now going to be looking at how is silver refined.
You know it's refined.
Oh, I know it's fire. But it says as it is refined.
What's the process,
Yeah, what's the process? So the last couple of days I've been, I mean, I'm going, it's just about everything you said today. I said, I don't want to get used to any. I wanted to always be, I already saw that, Lord. Oh, Lord, that's so good. I just heard that yesterday. I want it to be.
Freshly.
I still want it to be.
Yes.
Yeah. I said, but I shouldn't be surprised, but I want to be surprised.
My God, my God. It's
but I'm like, we need to be asking the Lord. And so, yes, what came out was, again, the surrender. One guy had a dream. Chuck prophesied, and the guy, the revelation of the dream came out that if you'll surrender, you will have your own special Pentecost. That was something else that came out. That thing was so neat. It was so neat. Lord, tune us. God, tune us to prophesy precisely, precision. To our brethren.
Yes.
God, that's, what I want.
God.
I want to lay hands on the sick and see them recover.
Glory to God, what we're hungry for. That's what we want. It's what we've got to have. That's what we desire. That's what we're wanting. What we're crying out to you for. That's what we're crying out to you for.
We want to tell people that we love you, Lord God, and they look back at us and say, how can I love him? How can I love him how you love him? God, this is what we want. It's what we're asking for. Father, we don't want to just come through something that we can just say we celebrated.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we want the tangible.
We want a marked event.
We want
a marked event in our life. A life-changing marked event.
Yes. And there was even something this last week, Father. Whoa, God, it was a scripture that I looked up in that. Even what Kathy just said, that was the translation of it. It you hit the mark.
Yes.
You hit the mark. Speaking specifically, Father God, with words of precision that we know. God, that we know. That when we go to that very place, when we go to that very book, that we heard you, that that we heard you. Oh, Father.
Glory to God.
That we will have a tangible, that we will see.
Oh, God. What we've been crying out for and waiting for.
Oh, for so many years, Father God, and what
here
you
now.
Said, what 70 and what 40 meant.
The end
70,
is here.
70. This is my heart